We've got yourself, Avery Doria, Olof Nordling, Robin Gross, John Bing, Chuck Gomes, J. Scott Evans, an observer from the IPC, Karen Lentz, his staff, David Maher, an observer from the Registry Constituency and their chair, Dirk Trishkinovsky, an observer from the Business Constituency, Liz Williams, staff, Marilyn Cade, observer from the Business Constituency, John Nevitt, observer from the Registrar Constituency, Miriam Shapiro, observer, Tim Rui, observer, the Registrar Constituency, Greg Ruth, ISP, Edmund Chan, Registry Constituency, Ray Fassett, observer from the Registry Constituency, Ken Stubbs, observer from the Registry Constituency, Mwaki Changa, non-commercial, Alan Greenberg, ALAC liaison, and Christina Rosette, IPC, and Adrian Kinderis, registrar.
You nearly forget me, Glenn.
Thank you all for coming on. Sounds like we have every constituency represented, plus ALAC. We don't have a GAC representative, but that's not unusual. Okay, does anyone have a statement of interest that they wish to update at this point? If not, and you do, please send it to the list when you have it. Quickly to review the agenda. The first item I've got on there is I sent out a list of the status of recommendations. I'm not actually looking to go through each one. I would just like people to confirm, to speak up, if it contains an accurate picture. Then we'll go into issue 6, check the level of support, discuss wording. We've had some recommended changes in wording from NCUC, and there has been some other discussion. Then go to issue 20, check the level of support on that, discuss wording. I believe there's also been some suggested wording changes from NCUC and perhaps others on that. Then come back to issue 3, discuss the various wordings. There was still a proposal. There's been some discussion. There's Bruce's counter, which seems to be gaining some acceptance. So come back to that and check where we are. There's a review of the reserve name status. And then there's a discussion of next steps. And I sent out sort of a list of the things that I think are on the list that still need to be completed for us to finish this part of the work, see if there's any additional agenda items for the next meeting, and then confirm the schedule of the next meeting, because at the moment we're in a conflict with the council meeting of the same day, different time, but want to check and see if that works for people, and we'll come back to all of that. One thing I wanted to mention about the agenda is that I added times to things, and of course I'm already running over the time for the first item, but hey, I'll try and catch up. And on some of the recommendations, what I hope to do is to discuss them for a limited amount of time, gauge where we are. If we're not at a point yet where we think we've arrived at broad support for a particular item, then ask a few people, basically those who are at variance on the wording, plus some who are interested but aren't part of, I mean, are sort of in a neutral position, to get together and spend the next week trying to hash it out off list and on list and see if we can't get something
before
next week.
Can stop now, join?
So is that agenda? Oh, and just one note, I put 3 after 6 and 20, because even though I put timings, we spent a lot of time on 3, and I wanted to make sure that we had at least started our work on 6 and 20 before coming back to 3. And while I'll try to keep us to timing, if I fail, I prefer for that to be last. Does anyone have any issues with the agenda as presented? Okay, great. In which case, we can go on to item 1, which is review the status of the recommendations. You'll notice that I have the current text. I've indicated a level of support. I've indicated which constituency might have concerns. I have not done anything about the two NOMCOM appointees in terms of our do we have concerns or whatever, and then have listed a proposed change, changes under discussion, notes on concerns in the final column. They say after every meeting, I'll update that to reflect what people tell me is incorrect or correct and what comes out of the meeting. So does anyone want to be on the queue now to sort of discuss anything, to point out any issues, any errors that are in this at this point?
Abby, just a point of clarification, if you wouldn't mind.
Sure. Anyone else want to be in other than Liz? I recognize her voice. Oh, yeah, and please, it's a recording. It'll be transcribed, I believe. And so everyone's got to use their name a bunch.
It's Liz speaking for the recording. Abby, I just wanted to double check with you. Thank you very much for sending around that table because it concurred with what I had thought about for the report. Is it the intention of the group to only... I think that what I could do is complete the portions that relate to each of the things that have got broad agreement, because I want to get as many of the sections of the report completed to indicate text that says this has broad support, this is supported by the constituency impact statement, this is supported by consultations in Puerto Rico, so I can finish off portions of the report. Is that what you want to do, or do you want to do it differently?
I think I'd be interested to hear if anyone disagrees. I think that finish off is slightly stronger. I think that in each meeting I'll be asking people to confirm this and to sort of reinforce the consensus over time. And I'm not precluding that someone could come out with another consideration. I'm hoping that's not the case. So I'd say, yes, certainly come as close to finalizing it as can be done before we've done a final consensus.
Okay.
Checking.
Thank you. That's great. Thank you very much.
Does that work for everybody else? Does anyone think that's not the way we should proceed on this? Okay.
Someone needs to oil their door.
If that's okay with people, then we can move on to issue 6. One last view on this table. As I said, okay. As I said, I'll go through, I'll put this table as item 1 on every agenda, and people can, you know, correct it at any time that it looks like it needs correcting. Okay, issue 6. Issue 6, to remind everybody, currently reads, this must not be contrary to generally accepted legal norms relating to morality and public order that are enforceable under generally accepted and internationally recognized principles of law. Examples of such limitations that are internationally recognized include, but are not limited to, restrictions defined in the Paris Convention for the Protection of Industrial Property, PARIN, in particular restrictions on the use of some strings as trademarks, closed PARIN, and the Universal Declaration of Human Rights, open PARIN, in particular limitations to freedom of speech rights. Now, there's already been, as I understand it, an agreed change, the change freedom of speech rights, of freedom of expression, and Liz has indicated that that's already done in the draft that she's got.
Yep, that's true.
I've got basically this marked on the level of support as level yet to be checked. However, it did appear to be broad. I have one notation of a constituency that doesn't support this as it stands, and that's NCUC. Is there any other constituency that has concerns with this and doesn't currently support it? And then after I check that level, then I'd like to go and discuss NCUC's concerns and any other constituency that may have concerns on it. But is there any other constituency that would like to raise concerns on this one at this point? Okay, so at the moment I can indicate that there is broad concern, but there still is concerns. NCC,
Aubrey, it's Marilyn.
Yes.
Sorry. Can I just ask you to restate? You said you could indicate there are broad concerns.
No, I said that there's broad support. Sorry, if I said broad concerns,
okay.
I tripped over my tongue. Thank you for correcting me. So there's broad level of support NCUC has registered a concern and has some recommended changes, or some wording changes they'd like to discuss, if I understand correctly.
Yes, this is Robin. Can I get in the queue for that?
You're in the queue. And does anyone else want to go into queue now or wait until after Robin has presented? Okay, go ahead, Robin.
Sure. So we sent around a proposed modification of that. Milwaukee sent it this morning. Basically, we're not proposing to change the substance of it, but basically we wanted to delete the words morality and public order, because these are the words that are not internationally agreed upon what they mean, and these are the words that are causing a great deal of concern from the community. However, lawful objections that are based upon those issues are still within the scope of the proposal that we've sent around. So we've sent around a proposal that's basically strange must not be contrary to legal norms that are enforceable and are generally accepted and internationally recognized principles of law, taking into account the aforementioned limitations.
Can you read slower and louder? I can barely hear you. No, I have trouble.
Okay. Strange must not be contrary to legal norms that are enforceable under generally accepted and internationally recognized principles of law. Taking into account the aforementioned limitations, no application shall be rejected solely because the applicant or string is associated with an unpopular or controversial point of view. So our concern is basically with taking out the words morality and public policy, while those types of concerns that are validly legal or legally valid are still within the scope of this. We're concerned in particular also with the existing language because we thought we had agreed in the June 7th meeting to try to build some protections for freedom of expression into this recommendation, but the way it's currently drafted is to build in limitations to freedom of expression. So we in fact got the exact opposite of what we wanted when our principle that was agreed upon in the June 7th meeting got transposed into an actual text recommendation.
Okay, thanks. So if I understand, there are really two main changes here. One was the change to replacement of morality and law and order with the legal norms that are enforceable under generally accepted. And then the second was the addition of the phrase, taking into account the aforementioned limitations, no application shall be rejected solely because the applicant or string is associated with an unpopular, controversial point of view. Do you want those taken as a pair, or would it be worth taking each of those changes individually into the discussion?
I don't have a preference with that, I guess. I guess individually.
Okay, I'd like to open the queue on
coping.
Especially the first one. Okay, John. Anyone else? Okay, go ahead, John.
It seems to me that striking those the reference to morality and public order makes the first sentence overly general, because as it stands, it is limitation of which recognized principle of law can be referred to. By striking that reference, there will be any generally accepted and internationally recognized principle of law that can be taken into account. So that, I guess, is what will be rectified by the second modification. But nevertheless, I'm unsure of how the total result will be.
Well, I thought of that when we were drafting it, as if, in fact, we were opening it up. And it seems to me that I couldn't think of any other objections that wouldn't relate to morality or public order, because public order and morality are actually rather broad. And so those types of concerns would still be included. And I'm not sure what else would be invited.
Well, I just think about all the disputes about territorial claims and so on.
Well, it strikes me that those could fit under public that those would have already fit under public order.
Well, not that I understand public order with a reference to
Well, see, again, this is our problem, is that these terms, public order and morality, are not, do not have an internationally agreed meaning, and so I think...
Or the public does in international law, and that is usually translated as public order to in English legal language.
Anyone else want to get in the queue on this?
Chuck would.
Anyone else, while I'm taking a queue? Okay, Chuck?
Yeah, a question for John. John, are you saying then that public order and morality do have accepted definitions in international law?
What I'm saying is that public order is usually the English translation of ordre public, which is a certain type of theory and doctrine in international, the conflict
Hello,
of laws.
Johnny, how are you saying?
In the conflict of laws, which justifies some exceptions to the general principles. It's much discussed and quite well understood, but I'm quite agree with Robin that it also is a wide term.
John, can I ask a question? Would morality normally fit under the public order criteria also?
I am of the impression that public order is more mundane than morality, but there certainly is overlap. Like, for instance, things which have to do with the acceptance of double marriages, for instance, that would both be accepting two wives. That would be an issue of public order, but it's also, I'm sure many would ask, see it as an issue of morality.
So there would be morality, though, that wasn't public order?
Yes, that is certainly true.
Okay, thanks. I just wanted to clarify. Anyone want to speak on, I guess my trying to delink the two was probably a bad idea, I guess, since one opens it up and one closes it down. Does anyone want to speak on either of these?
I want to talk about a different word, Aubrey. This is Chuck, but I don't know if now is the time or not.
As long as it's on six and there's no one else in the queue responding to these, yeah.
Well, there's been a little bit of discussion on the word enforceable, and I think Miriam suggested the word enforced. But I recall in San Juan that someone else—it wasn't me—that raised the concern about the word, and I don't think it matters whether it's enforced. Is that something that's measurable? Do we want the expert panel that would look at these to check to see if complaints similar to these have been enforced or can be enforced, or do we want them to just look at the law? It seems to me it complicates it if we are asking them to determine whether the complaint is enforceable, or excuse me, the law that's being applied is enforceable or not. You don't really know whether it's enforceable until it's tested in courts. But again, I would like some clarification on that. If it is where we want to go, then we need to make sure it's doable.
Does anyone want to speak to that? I'll take a cue. John, anyone else?
Milwaukee,
anyone else?
Robin,
anyone else? Okay, go ahead, John.
Well, there are two levels here, aren't there? There's the level of enforceable under international law, and most treaties do not have clauses which make similar to the World Trade Organization, which has a dispute resolution mechanism and with CETA in it. Most of them do only work on a sort of gentleman's agreements level. So most accepted international legal norms are not enforceable on the international level. On the other hand, you have enforceable as, for instance, a patent or a trademark infringement, where one country will accept the decisions of another country's courts. But that often will be a bilateral arrangement, and perhaps that is not what we are thinking of. My own view is exactly what Chuck mentioned, that to take enforceable in the formal and literal sense will make very, very few norms enforceable under international law. It mainly would be those laws, those norms that could be enforced under the world the WTO.
Okay, thanks. Milwaukee?
Yes. My understanding is that enforceable will be relevant here because first we are talking about principles of law internationally that are recognized internationally. And sometimes you have that situation. For a law to be enforced, you need the state or the government to buy in and to accept to put resources to enforce those laws or those principles of law. So sometimes you have treaties or principles of law that are agreed upon, but the state or the government don't necessarily follow up and enforce it as it should be. So I think it's more, it's better to keep it in that general meaning, saying that I can, this process will take those principles into account wherever they are enforceable and enforced, of course, but at least those principles exist, they are agreed upon, and the structures are there for them to be enforced.
Okay, Robin?
Yeah, Milwaukee really just said what I was going to say, is that I think it's important that we leave enforceable in there, because if it isn't a principle that's enforceable, I'm not sure that it's appropriate for ICANN to be enforcing it on people. If the own national governments don't enforce.
Could I get back into the queue, please?
John, yeah, hold on a sec.
And okay. Chuck, too.
And Chuck. Okay, Robin, have you finished?
Yes.
Okay, I wanted to ask one question, and it's good that John's coming after. Does having enforceable in there serve as a limitation on the morality and public order? And then I'd like to ask, you know, Robin and Milwaukee, whether that in some sense does serve as a counterbalance for them, assuming on how John responds. So just a question. John?
Yes, I think it serves as a limitation. I just wanted to offer an example. If you take the Berne Convention, which is the basis for copyright law all around the world, the Berne Convention do not have any clauses which make it internationally enforceable. And it has never been. The only enforceable part is the reference in the World Trade Organization's TRIPS agreement. So that's the only way you can enforce any part of the Berne Convention. And I would be surprised if we did not include that type of principles as a reference. And I just offer that as an example.
Okay, thank you. Chuck.
Yes, I think my primary concern is how would this be measured by a panel that was making a decision on this? Is it really possible to determine whether something's enforceable or not? Because if we're putting something in there that the panel cannot objectively look at and evaluate, then it doesn't work.
Yeah, in listening, and perhaps this is more of a question than an answer, it sounds like there are various ways. One is, and these things that I think I pulled from what John was saying, that one, certainly if it's ever been enforced in the past, if there are any of the treaties or conventions that indeed do have explicit enforcement measures, then they can look at it and say that is enforceable. This is, and please, John or someone else, correct me if I'm wrong, take another cue on this. And also, people, address please the last edition issue that was also in there, the taking into account the aforementioned limitations. No application shall be rejected solely because the applicant or string is associated with an unpopular, controversial point of view. And I'd be interested to hear, especially from constituencies, whether they're willing to see that that phrase added to the current number six. Taking a cue?
Milwaukee.
I'm in the queue.
Oh, who? Robin?
Yeah.
Oh, I thought you already spoken. Okay, I got Robin. I got Milwaukee.
Aubrey, it's Christina. Can you add me, please?
Sure, Christina.
Tony Harris.
Tony Harris. Anyone else? Okay. Oh, apologies, Robin. I thought, apologies for missing you.
That's okay. Yeah, I just, picking up on John and Chuck's point, with John talking about the Berne Convention and the fact that national exhaustion is dealt with differently in different countries, I think that's a really good example, because some countries, for example, allow parallel importation of goods, and other countries don't. And so the point we're trying to make is that it depends upon the country that you live in and how is it enforced in the country that you live in. We wouldn't want a principle that is from another legal regime imposed upon a applicant who's in a regime that has different interpretation of the enforceability of that provision. And so, so again, I think it's important that the enforceability word remain there, because it really is what ties the it's what ties the particular principle to the particular jurisdiction in which the applicant resides. And so also to address Chuck's question about how would we measure that, well, I think we would measure that the same way we would measure our other concerns, where we're going to have to evaluate different legal standards. We look at what courts have decided in the past, and that certainly is the most telling. If there isn't a decision on record that enforces a principle a certain way, then I don't think that ICANN should, on its own, enforce that principle upon an applicant whose country doesn't actually recognize that principle as enforceable there. And so I think that, looking at past decisions is the best way. Certainly consulting with legal experts in that jurisdiction would be a secondary way. But again, I think the main way is looking at is there a decision on record that would support that enforceability claim?
Could I get back on the queue, please? John B.
Yeah, John, did you want to address that directly, or did you want to get at the end of the queue?
I wait for my turn.
Okay, great. Okay, Milwaukee. Robin, you were done, correct?
Yes.
Okay, thanks.
Yes. To address your question, whether enforceable will work here as a limitation, logically, yes. If those principles related to morality and public order are not enforceable, then there won't be a problem. I mean, we won't have to be concerned with them. But the thing is, I don't really see the relevance of having the reference to morality and public order related to GTLDs, especially when you couple this with the recommendation 20 that say we'll go through a public objection, public comment, and public objection process, and if people are not happy with the string, then there's a problem. We can reject the string. So the thing is, I'm afraid that this is opening, how do you say that, a can of worms. That might open a can of worms, and I don't see really the added value of referring to morality and public order if those if the issues related to those principles were not dealt with at national level. So we have a provision saying that the strings and all these processes, the applicants have to abide by their relevant legislation. And I don't see the necessity to single out public order and morality issues here. Considering what I said about the recommendation 20, but we'll come back to the...
Yeah, we'll come back to 20 shortly. Okay, thank you. Christina?
I'm not finished.
Oh,
but
okay.
To address Chuck's question about measurement, In my view, that is simple. When we talk about enforceable principles, the question is, are there any mechanism, any entity, any authority, any structure in order to enforce those laws or those principles of laws? Is there any, those principles of law, do they have any provision for any, for some mechanism to follow up and monitor their enforcement? If there's none, then they are not enforceable. We won't go all the way to set up one to do the job.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah.
Christina.
I was about to offer a clarification or a possible clarification that I think might go some distance towards helping with this enforceability problem, but I do think it does, in fact, open yet another can of worms. And that would be to basically modify the language so that it would read, strings must not be contrary to legal norms that are enforceable under national law, and then have under generally accepted be replaced with either pursuant to or in accordance with generally accepted and internationally recognized principles of law. As a threshold matter, I don't know whether that provides the additional clarification that everybody thinks would be useful. Second, I don't know to what extent you could have some of the legal norms, for example, that I think may have been in people's minds as we've been talking about this, in the sense of, for example, just to use, kind of dot Nazi and the prohibition in Germany on using that. I don't know, and I have no idea, frankly, whether or not that prohibition would be considered to be, in accordance with or pursuant to generally accepted and internationally recognized principles of law. I simply don't know. The other problem with the modification, although it does solve the issue of where is it enforceable, what body of law do you actually look to, because in many, John is absolutely right. In many cases, these treaties are simply not self-implementing. You need to have national legislation at the national level. But then you get into whose law. And frankly, I think relying solely on the applicant's law is too limiting, because if no applicant is going to apply for a string that is unlawful in their own country. So you're essentially rendering the whole principle moot.
Okay, thank you. I've got Tony Harris and then John, and then I'm going to sort of call this issue for now and try to put together a team to talk about it. But Tony?
Yeah, my point is not on enforceability, but on the second part, which talks about unpopular or controversial point of view, and the fact that no application shall be rejected solely because this is involved. And I don't quite understand the rationale for putting this in. I mean, it would open the way for the example which was just given for .Nazi to come through, because why would we be able to object to that if we're saying, the string cannot be turned down just because it's unpopular or controversial? That's my question.
Okay, thank you. John, you have the last word for now, and then I want to talk briefly about getting a couple people to work together on this. But John?
Yes, thank you. My comment on this first sentence is mainly of legal technical reasons. It's not because I have anything against the principle. I'd like to make that clear, and to a large extent I'm sympathetic to the second sentence. But my point is that, as Christina was mentioning, there are probably no international recognized principle of law that are directly enforceable in my own jurisdiction. It has to be converted into national law before it can be enforced. And then you have the question of whether the national law is in accordance with the international law, which often comes up, of course, and which the expert panel then would have to address. And then you have the problem of applicable law, which we sort of hide under the term national law, but in many cases there will be extraterritorial application of other countries' law on the action which are considered. So I find the reference to enforceable extremely difficult to cope with. As a lawyer, I think to myself on that panel, and I'd ask Robin as well, how would you interpret it? How would you, what sort of test would you make to say that this is enforceable? Would you have to identify the applicable law for the action in question? And if you are identifying the applicable law, you have to do that with the basis of one jurisdiction, and which jurisdiction do you pick? And so on. I simply think it is formally very, very difficult.
Okay, thanks. That's a good question. What I'd like to suggest now is a lot of good questions have been brought up. I don't think I've heard support for a change yet. I've certainly heard discussion. And I'd like to put together, and we can either do that now or I can continue it after, a sort of small group, 5 to 6 people, no more than one from a constituency, possibly going to 7 if we have all constituencies, plus someone from NAMCOM, that will spend the next week sort of taking the issues that have come up here and any others that come in and see if they can come up with a suggested set of changes for next week's meeting, at which point, you know, we can talk about it again. Now, from the people that spoke, we had either Robin or Milwaukee from NCUC, and I'm not sure which one of you.
Well, actually, I was going to ask if we could have two from NCUC, since we're the ones that have the concern with the current language.
I would prefer to keep it at one, because otherwise the group starts to grow. And, you know, I also think this is in terms of trying to wordcraft. I do believe that if the small group comes up with some suggested changes, they should float them on the list.
Milwaukee
here.
There was Milwaukee and there was someone else that was wanting to comment.
Adrian,
okay. And this is to comment on the setting up of the groups, correct?
Yes, it is.
Okay, so, okay, first Milwaukee, I think I heard you trying to get in first, and then I heard Adrian.
Yes. Yes, I don't have a problem with having one person per constituency. And in that case, actually, I would suggest that Robin be the one from MCUC. And if I may also, I would suggest that Christina may join that group. Because
I had Christina on my list of people to ask. Thank you.
Okay.
In fact, I had on my list just before we go on, so far, I had the people who had been talking. I had Robin, except for NCUC, where there were two. I had Robin, Chuck, John, Christina, and Tony as my first take. Adrian, I had you on the list.
Yeah, I'm a little new to this, and I just had a question of, I guess, procedure. How close do we have to get to consensus before we can take this to a vote or just agree on it? Because it sounds like there's a small amount of people that have an issue with this.
Right. Okay.
And ultimately, it's going to go to a vote, from my understanding.
Right. I can explain.
So how close do we have to getting this exactly right before we can just say, well, I'm sorry, guys, but
I'm not going to
agree with you, and we're just going to go forward?
Yeah, I can explain. The basis that I'm using is, at the moment, we've already got broad consent. In order to, and I'm kind of using rules of rough consensus, which means that if someone disagrees with the broad consensus, what needs to happen is that there needs to be sort of a certainty that their issue has been completely explored, that they've had a chance to basically express it, to work at it, and then we either reach conclusion, you know, we either change what we've got broad consent on, or we move on. As we've seen with the discussion on 3, it looks like things have moved some based on that discussion. So what I'm proposing is that, and this is something that it's not quite what we've done before, but to try and come to closure on this, is that we've had a discussion now on the issues as the small group of people who care about this, who are at variance, discuss it for a week, see if they can come up with any proposed changes, see if we can get the broad consensus to accept it. If we can't as of the next week, then basically we have broad support on what we have broad support on, and then we have the ability for those who don't agree with it to comment in the report. But I also want to make sure that the report, as we've got it, has to include a good explanation of what all the issues were that were explored.
Aubrey, could I, this is Chuck, could I just ask for a point of clarification? I think it would be okay, and I'm asking for your direction on this, if was an observer from a constituency, rather, it doesn't have to be a constituency member, correct?
I think so. I think someone from a constituency is fine. I just basically only wanted one person from a constituency, otherwise we end up with a big group.
Thank you.
And Avery, just thank you for your clarification. Just so, I mean, I guess we know where the light at the end of the tunnel is on this.
Yeah, the light at the end of the tunnel is basically, and it's being done sort of between Chuck and I, if we can agree that, and then we put it out to the group and have general agreement that, yeah, it has been discussed, it's been discussed thoroughly, we think there's a general understanding of all the issues, and, you know, that's the best we can do.
Yep, thank you.
Abby, is Liz here, a supplementary question?
Yeah.
Please, if you don't mind. Abby, we've been talking about in the background the preparation of issues reports, and I just wanted to make sure that everybody understood that it is perfectly feasible to submit a minority report on any issue at any point, which sets out all of the, which is a separate issue from has the issue been completely explored, which you just said, and what were the issues to identify all of the issues, and then the approach to those issues is separate for the general group is may well be different from a group that may wish to put in a minority report and propose a different way forward. So that minority report, if there is such a thing, would be included in toto in the final report.
Yeah. And, yeah, that's the step after we've basically said we've reached broad agreement and discussion is stopped.
Yeah, because I just have to, I was just trying to answer Adrian's light at the end of the tunnel question.
Okay, so yeah. So anyhow, I had, and we've already run 10 minutes over this topic, but this is the first time we've done this, so that's cool. I had Robin as my first choice, and if you guys want to suggest someone else, please do. I had Robin, Chuck, John Bing, Christina, and Tony Harris as several who had contributed. I don't know if they want to convince someone else from their groupings. And for the constituencies that I haven't included, for example, there's no one from the registrar constituency in this. There doesn't need to be. I mean, if, for example, a constituency is fine either way, then maybe, you know, it's good that you go in as a neutral party, but I don't think it's necessary that we have one from each if you really don't care.
Jonathan, were you saying you wanted to get in on this one?
Either Adrian or I will serve on it. If Adrian doesn't want to, I will.
Okay,
you go ahead, John. You're a lawyer.
Okay, so, and we can settle that up later, you know, after the meeting, but okay. So, at this point, I'd like to move on to 20.
Abby, I'm sorry, would you mind, just double-checking before you go to 20, this presumes that 3 is all right, because you
No, we have not come back. I have 3 on the agenda after 20.
Oh, I beg your pardon.
Basically, I wanted to make sure ran over, we got to the things we hadn't talked about yet.
Yep, sorry about that. Sorry.
Okay. 20, an application will be rejected if it is determined, based on public comments or otherwise, that there is a substantial opposition to it from among significant established institutions of the economic sector or cultural or language community to which it is targeted or which it is intended to support. Okay. The level on this has been set, though it appears to be broad. NCUC has spoken of several concerns. Several wording changes had been considered. We went through, I guess, before the San Juan meeting, a whole set of wording changes that I haven't captured in this table, and basically it never stabilized anywhere. So, first of all, other than NGCUC, is there any constituency that wants to basically register a concern or issue with this one at this point? Okay, not trip over my tongue. The level of support is broad at this point. However, there are NCUC concerns that need to be totally fleshed out and discussed. So, I'll take, therefore, Robin or Milwaukee, would you like to start talking about your issues with this one, and then I'll take a cue for further discussion? And I know we've talked about it some already in the 6, but please.
Yeah, our main concern with this one is that there's no limitation on the types of objections that we invite. Right now, it's an infinite it's an infinite type of objection that anyone can make. Anyone from the English language community can object to an English word that they don't like, and on down the line. And so we feel like this has to be narrowed to accept types of objections. An infinite type just isn't going to work. That's going to basically swallow up all of our other attempts to narrow the kinds of objections that could be made, and it potentially swallows up the entire the rest of the recommendation process by permitting sort of a free-for-all objection to any word that's your language that's in your language, or that you feel maybe it's an economic competitor, and you want to have access, or you want to be the one to have registered that word, and so you can object and you can say, well, I'm the real dot bank, not you, and so we feel there has to be some kind of limitation so it is legitimate objections that could be made, and not just any old objection as it currently stands.
Okay, thank you.
Aubrey, this is Christina. Thank
you. Hello.
Christina, and then Milwaukee.
And Chuck.
Anyone else? Okay, I'd like to ask, and that people sort of bring up their issues, certainly, but try not to go into long expounding on it. Please, Christina, you're first. You haven't spoken much. I just wanted to make sure that we didn't. Yeah, but thank you.
No, just as an initial matter, I support Recommendation 20, but what I'm hoping that we can maybe do is find some language that we could add to this that would satisfy the concern that Robin has. And although I was not, I don't believe, initially involved in the drafting of this recommendation, it's my understanding that its real impetus is to essentially avoid a situation in which consumers and users would believe falsely that there is some kind of association between, for example, the string and the significant institutions within that sector, or, for example, a string and the significant cultural institutions in that sector. And just, you know, we've been using dot bank as an example. It's my understanding that the whole idea there was to really avoid a situation in which consumers falsely believed, for example, that, you know, the American Bankers Association and the IMF and this organization and that organization were all supporting dot bank when, in fact, they had no connection with it, that there was really no true association between those key institutions and the applicant. And similarly, Marilyn, I'm going to steal your example. On the cultural side, that, for example, you know, I don't think anybody would want me running .Navajo just because I think it's a good business opportunity. I would think that, frankly, you would have a situation in which that community, that recognized, you know, sovereign people, would have the opportunity to say, hey, there's no association here between this applicant and us. And to the extent that others will think that by virtue of the string there is an implied association or sponsorship or endorsement, we have an opportunity to challenge that. And if that is a basis for objection that Robin and Milwaukee and others are comfortable with, then maybe we can start from there to try and find language that captures that.
Okay, thank you. Milwaukee?
Yes, a couple of points. First, I still don't really understand why. I mean, someone can come up with a new string, you know, a string like dot bank, who was not previously involved in the business. Maybe he hasn't been around long enough to build support, but still offer relevant and interesting services to the bank industry. So I'm still struggling with that idea that only the industry representatives, no matter how they get to be representatives, will have the right to apply for a string and to do business with that string, because it's possible to do honest business, honest and clean business, without being previously part of the industry. Second, if we are talking about string that purports to address a specific community or a sector of activity, then I posted a couple of questions a few weeks ago on the email list. We are not talking about STLD, right? We are talking about TLD in general. So are we going to evaluate the purpose of the application of the string through the statement made by the applicants? Example, the applicant state in its application material that their intention is to serve this community or this sector. Are we going to evaluate that, to assume that based on the string? Those things need to be clarified in my mind.
Okay, thank you.
Can I get in queue, Tony Harris?
Okay, I've got Chuck, I've got Tony Harris. I heard somebody else.
Robin, can I get in the queue, please?
Robin, anyone else? Okay, Chuck.
Okay, I hope I don't muddy the waters too much on this one. Let me say, first of all, I think that this is probably the most difficult one of all 20 or 21 to get the wording right, so I have empathy there. But a very broad question I have is that that community input, broad community input, seems to be either important or not in this process. There are going to be public comment periods, and one of the questions that's been running through my mind: do public comments matter? If not, why do we have public comment periods? And it relates to this one as well as some of the others. If our process only factors in the dispute processes, where does public comment come into play? And this particular recommendation, in particular, seems to try to deal with that issue. And it's not an easy one to craft, I don't believe. But it seems to me that if there's going to be public comment, that we need to consider public comment in some way, and this particular recommendation, at least in part, seems to deal with that.
Avery, could I be added to the queue, please?
Liz?
When the queue's finished, Avery.
Right, in fact, I'll give you the last word on this queue, and then we'll talk about how to proceed. Okay. So, Chuck, you were done?
I'm done.
Okay. Tony?
Yes, mine's very quick. It goes a bit to what Milwaukee was saying. I understand his concern about a level playing field and people not being disenfranchised because maybe they're not the World Association of Banks. But I would put this example in front of Milwaukee, which is we need to have some safeguards, which is something we've discussed in all the PDP, as to how a contention issue is solved. And I think this goes to that, because if, for example, as has been rumored, there will be a presentation for a .Africa string representing the region of Africa, this could be presented by a relevant group of stakeholders who've come together, and they're people in Africa and different NGOs, and they've put together a good proposal, and somebody with a lot of money could come along and say, well, I can provide services for .Africa, and look, I have all this money, and I can do all this advertising. And so I think, basically, the question of demonstration of support, even if we're not on a sponsored TLD playing field, is important. And having a broad opportunity or a broad scope of potential people who could come to the come and speak on this may not be the worst idea.
Okay, thank you. Robin?
I just wanted to suggest that a way we could narrow this that would certainly address our concerns would be if we could limit it to lawful objections. I'm very sympathetic to the concern, and I absolutely understand we don't want people to go around pretending to be something that they're not and misrepresenting the public about what they're trying to do and who they in fact are. And so there's a variety of laws in existence on the books that deal with this: trademark laws, unfair competition laws, misrepresentation, fraud. All of these things are legal remedies that would be available in those circumstances. So if we can narrow this to technical or lawful objections, that would remove a lot of our concerns.
Okay, thank you. Liz, you got the last word for the moment.
Yeah, thanks, Abby. I just wanted to just ask the committee to look again at a mixture of existing recommendations. So look at recommendation 12, if you have Abby's chart in front of you. And for those of you who don't, I'll just read it quickly. It says dispute resolution and challenge processes, which is what's being dealt with in section 20, must be established prior to start of the application process. I wonder if, to help us get through this, whether it would be helpful for that recommendation to stand, but then some more work to be done on standing and on establishment of standing for objections. There's three things. One is the purpose of public comments, and that has been handled by Craig in a number of areas in the implementation plan, and that's on that very long chart that everyone had in Puerto Rico. Secondly, if you wanted to, if we could, we might be able to come back and say, with respect to 12 and all the other recommendations as a package, we could do some more work around the objection process, because it seems to me that's what we're struggling with, about how that would be established. And I hear Robin's point about lawful objections. We could perhaps do some more work on that, because from my side, we're going to have significant problems in the implementation side with determining what substantial means, what significant means, what established means, and what cultural or language community, how you balance competing cultural, language, and economic sector concerns. So from an implementation point, and Craig is away on leave this week, so I'm doing two jobs at the minute with the implementation guys, the substantial, significant, established, and then the variety of communities present significant tests for the implementation team in terms of how they would actually apply this recommendation as it stands. And just a suggestion for moving it forward would be to read 12 again and then think about some implementation guidelines that could be linked with 12. And that's just a suggestion to see if that can capture some of the concerns here, which removes some of the subjectivity which is included in the existing 20.
Okay, thanks.
To get in the queue, please.
Actually, I was going to cut the queue on this one at this point and sort of go into about how we continue working on this for the week. I don't think we're actually going to solve this in the next couple minutes. And I'd like to make sure that, you know, there's a set of proposals. So, again, I'd like to put together a small group of people. It may even be the same group of people that were working on the other one, but it might also be good for it to be a different group, although many of the same people spoke.
Aubrey, could I make a suggestion in that regard?
Please.
I really like your latter suggestion much better, because we're only talking about a week. And
so a different group of people.
Yeah, to the extent we can, we don't have to be too rigid on it, but if we can get different people in each subgroup, I think we have a better chance of making some progress, hopefully we can do that.
Okay, great.
Aubrey, sorry, can I just make two remarks for the record? Not that I intend to resolve this recommendation issue.
Are these things that haven't been said before? Because I really did want to cut. So if it's something that hasn't already been said by someone else along the way.
Yes, it
okay,
is.
Okay, very briefly, please.
Yes, okay. Partly addressing what Liz just said, I do think that there might be a difference between community related TLDs and economic sector activity related TLDs. And I do think if during the public comment, the board received that perception that an application is really disruptive for a sector of activities, we don't need necessarily to have a policy recommendation for that. I think that will influence their vote on the application. And second remark about following up on what Tony said, I do that there is a difference that this is not reflected here yet, but my personal feeling perception is that there is a difference between community-related TLDs or identity TLDs and a set of activity related to TLD with common names. Like, dot bank is a common word. So anyone, I think, can step in and apply for that and do a nice job with
that. Yeah, that was the point you made earlier. Okay, thank you.
Okay.
Okay, so getting back to trying to put this together. So how do we want to go about it? Do people want to volunteer now who aren't already? Because it was, you know, Christine. Also, one of the impressions I had was that while there is still broad support, and there continues to be broad support for the current text, there is some willingness to consider rewording to take some of the other considerations into account. So I'm hoping the group can, you know, look at that, look at perhaps some of the suggestions that Liz made, look at perhaps whether there's a solution in terms of creating another implementation guideline or something like that. Do I have any volunteers for this? Is, other than Christina, Robin, Chuck, and Tony, who are the people that spoke, and Milwaukee, but are also ones... any volunteers at the moment?
Avery, just a quick statement. I'll help both groups, and is it intended that the little groups would meet on a little special conference call next week?
I think that's totally up to the little groups, whether they can do it by email or they want to have a call. I think that's totally group-specific, and if they want to have a call and you all can provide them with the facilities to do it, that works for me.
All I'm saying is that it's easy for me to do whatever it wants. I'm suggesting that perhaps it might be easier to do on a call rather than email trading.
Yeah, I would hope that there would be some email trading before the call, because otherwise the call leaves us right where we are now.
Okay, whatever the group wants to do. I'll
but as I say, it's up to the group to figure out how it wants to do it. I don't want to.
Avery?
Yeah.
This is J. Scott Evans. I'll volunteer for that.
Okay, thank you.
And Milwaukee also volunteer.
Okay, Milwaukee?
I'd volunteer.
I didn't. Who was that?
Robin.
You already got Milwaukee. I'm trying to keep it to one per constituency, and you're on the other one. And Milwaukee volunteered for this one, if that's okay. As I say, these things will come back on the list. We'll all get the chance to discuss them. And hopefully the people participating will consult with others in their constituencies. Okay, so I only have two constituencies at the moment.
Aubrey, I'm trying to. David Maher, are you willing to participate on one of these, or even the one I'm already on, and switch it?
Sure. Either way you want to.
Which one would you prefer, David? Do you care?
I think probably the first one.
You want to do number 6?
Yeah.
Okay, then switch me to number 20, unless somebody else from the registries wants to do that one. I don't have to be on them, but put David on number 6 instead of me. And for right now, put me on.
Okay,
on
sure. And folks can do substitutions, but there's probably not that much time.
Yeah, that's
weekend
why
short.
We need to do it now.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay, anyone else? As I say, I don't need someone from every constituency. Tony, you were on the other one. Did you want to do both? Did you want to find someone?
Well, actually, if it's not a problem, perhaps since I'm following this more closely than other people in my constituency, you can put me on both if
no
that's
problem
acceptable.
For me. It's no problem for me if you've got time. Anyone else, or people can let me know later, for example, from registrars. I know you had said one of you would take one or the other, so perhaps the other one will take this one versus John and Adrian. I mean registrars, tripping over my tongue again.
Yeah, I'm just looking at it now. I think we can maybe watch from afar on this one.
Okay, that's
fine. See what comes back to the table.
Okay, great. So if at the moment I've got J. Scott, Milwaukee, Chuck, and Tony Harris, if anyone else wants to be part of it, please let me know.
If you're already on another...
Excuse me?
Can, if we want to be part of it, can we, even if we're on the other group?
Yes, but I'm trying to keep it to one person per constituency.
And Aubrey, one more point in that regard. One of the advantages of having different people, and like I said, I don't think we need to be too rigid, but scheduling also becomes a problem the more duplication you have. So we just need people, if they're going to be on more than one, to try and be as flexible as possible so that it doesn't be impossible to schedule a meeting if it's needed.
Yep. No, I understand.
I will be sharing the discussion or the information about the discussion with my fellow constituency.
Yeah. I understand you both want to be on both, so please share. Okay. If more people want to get involved, please send an email to the list and do it. And if it doesn't work, you know, to have just one, in future ones we can do, but I really want to keep it small. Coming to issue 3. Issue 3, let me get to it. Okay, we've had a lot of discussion. It currently reads, strings must not infringe the existing legal rights of others that are recognized or enforceable under generally accepted and internationally recognized principle of law. Examples of these legal rights that are internationally recognized include, but are not limited to, rights defined in the Paris Convention for the Protection of Industrial Property, in particular trademark rights in parentheses, the Universal Declaration of Human Rights, and the International Covenant on Civil and Political Rights, in particular freedom of speech rights. Now, that has also been changed in the working draft that Liz has from freedom of speech to freedom of expression, since there did seem to be broad consensus for that change. The level of support on this has been indicated to be broad. MCUC has mentioned several concerns. These were discussed at length in our last meeting. Possible edits were under discussion. We went through several different suggestions. The last suggestion that was being discussed on the list after various rewrites did not gain broad support was a suggestion to leave 3 with the current text and to add a principle that said the string evaluation process must not infringe the applicant's freedom of expression rights that are enforceable under internationally recognized principles of law. From what I understood, Philip from BC was fine with this. It was accepted. I mean, it was suggested by Bruce, and I understood that Robin from NCUC was fine with his suggestion. So I guess I'd like to start and take a cue from this point to see if we can develop sort of a broad support for this solution, which is leave 3 as it is and add a principle. And I'd like to take a cue on that.
Milwaukee,
anyone else in the cue?
Harvey, just one clarification. I thought Bruce changed the wording a little bit in the current recommendation.
Did he?
I thought he did, but I don't have it right in front of me.
Okay, well, while we're talking, I will see if I can find anything, any change, and if it is, I'll bring it up.
I'll tell you if you want.
Huh?
I say I will tell you if you want.
Oh, if you know, please do.
Yes.
Start out.
The new wording is the string evaluation process must not infringe the applicant's freedom of expression rights that are protected. That's the word that is changed, protected instead of
enforceable
under international recognized principles of law.
Okay. Thank you for that modification.
You're welcome.
Okay. So anyone else want to be in the queue? I've still got you, Milwaukee. I didn't take that as your...
Okay.
But while
yes? This is Christina. I just have a clarification question. Do principles trump recommendations?
Sorry, Abby, if you don't mind, I can answer that. Please.
Okay.
Christina, in the establishment of principles, it was things that we generally agreed were a good way to proceed and that they would be reflected in the recommendations. So the principles are really important, and as they stand now, they incorporate many, many, many different things from ICANN's mission core values, from the committee's point of view, from the GAC sets of principles, from technical principles about good practice. So they're a melange of all kinds of different things that are just the way we'll do things. And it's not a case of trumping or not trumping, or one being better than the other. I think the distinction lies between, and this has happened a couple of times, where agreement was not able to be sought amongst all of the group.
a proposed recommendation could become an implementation guideline to provide guidance for the staff in implementation rather than it being a series of trumping or not trumping.
Let me ask the question more pointedly. To the extent that a recommendation could be deemed to conflict with the principal, what happens?
That just causes heaps of problems for the implementation team to actually unravel what the best thing to do is.
Okay.
And frankly, Christina, the choice then becomes within the board report. We receive information, we balance it, we put it into an implementation plan, we see if it's possible to implement it, we present that information to the board, and the board says, we accept your advice or we don't, we want you to go this way or that way.
Okay, thanks.
Milwaukee, why don't you go ahead and then I'll see who else we have in the queue.
Yes. Normally a recommendation, we shouldn't be having a recommendation that contradicts the principle. That
of
was
course.
The action. That's right, right now. My initial point was, well, yes, this recommendation, initial recommendation three, actually, in a way, in the substance-wise, it's the easiest one, because actually we all agree on this recommendation, on the substance of this recommendation. The only problem that remained was a logical problem, saying that the string by itself cannot contravene or infringe freedom of expression. So we are trying to fix that logical problem. So normally this one really has a broad consensus, a broad support. The only thing it was the logical problem. Now we agree, not only Robin, but I think the whole constituency agree, if it can resolve, this can be resolved by separating first the two aspects of the initial recommendation, this just as a principle. Thank you.
Okay, thanks. Anyone else like to speak on this?
Aubrey, not so much on the topic, but if nobody else has discussion on it, one approach we might, it looks like we may be close to some agreement on this, and we may be able to continue this one on the list in the next week and get it finished.
Okay, yeah, I'd like to do that, but I'd actually like to find out at the moment, sort of take a gauge on what degree of support we have for adding the principle itself and see if we can't spend a few minutes getting that. So I assume that if NCUC is fine with leaving three as it is, we won't need to discuss that. But, of course, they're being fine with that has to do with the principle. Is there anyone from the constituencies at this point that is unwilling to see this principle added or that still maintains reservations or concerns about it? If not, then, I mean, obviously it stays on the list, and next week I think I'll add principles to the table there so that when I ask, are there any clarifications or issues, it's included in the thing I'm asking issues about. But if there's no objection at this point, I will add it to the list of principles that we've got, and then we can come back to it next time to see whether in discussions with constituencies or discussions on the list we've developed it. So I would put it down as sort of tentatively broad with no one having voiced concerns yet. Does anyone object to my taking that approach to this?
And Aubrey, Chuck again, a suggestion. It'd probably be helpful for everybody participating on the list if you sent out an email on this one specifically restating
certainly
what we're looking at.
Yep, that's a good idea, thank you. And either you or I could do that, yes.
Okay.
Excuse me, I didn't hear that. Restating what?
What? Basically that I just sort of stated what I'm doing about this, about putting it in the principles, about it being tentatively broad, no one at this point having mentioned concerns, and just restating what we're doing.
And
so
restating
Bruce's
recommendation. And restating Bruce's recommendation,
yes.
Right? Yeah.
And then having people that have issues with it see it there. So basically taking a sort of, you know, how we move towards consensus process. Wow, that's a sound. Everyone still there? Okay, good.
You made the fatal flaw of saying how we move toward consensus process.
Right.
God spoke.
Or the devil, whichever.
Well, it depends on your perspective, Avery.
Yes. So basically stating that, you know, I think that we're moving towards it and giving people a chance to feedback on that other than just the one statement. Does anyone, object now? So if that's the case, then I'll move on.
Ever, you're going to send that to the list?
I will send that to the list later today, and I will update my chart to reflect that.
Thank you.
In which case, then we move on to review of reserve name status. We spent quite a bit of time talking about it last Thursday. Today is Thursday. So Chuck put out a table sort of showing where we are, and I'd like to let Chuck ask if there are any issues with what he's expressed there. Does it reflect the people on this call's understanding? Do people want to bring up any additional issues that need to be thought about at this point? And Chuck, if you'll I'll keep the cue, but if you would like to sort of deal with the discussion. So does everyone receive it? Should have. So anyone have any discussions? Is it fine with everyone?
Mm-hmm. Can Chuck, Malaki here, can Chuck or someone update us about the pending issues with that report, please?
Sure. I'll do it very quickly because I had hoped everybody would review it, and it was pretty easy to review because the information was highlighted that needed to be reviewed. Recommendation 2, there's a simple little, which was top-level IDNs that we, and I think we just need a validation by IDN experts and then inserting a document reference in the new wording. That one was changed. Liz, is staff taking care of both of those?
Yep.
Okay. Going on then, and I'll just go over the ones where there's something still needed to be done. Recommendation 3, which was second and third levels for IDNs, we need the same thing, the document reference and IDN expert. So Liz has already said staff is working that one. Symbols was going to be rewritten by Kerry, and that's recommendation 4. Probably be good. Probably give me an action item on that, and I'll follow up with Kerry on that, Avery.
Okay.
To make sure that happens. The next one is recommendation 5: single and two character IDNs. Several people volunteered in San Juan to provide examples, our chair included. Those of you that did that, if you'd send those to Liz so that we can add those examples, that would be good. And I think that's all that's needed on that one. Skipping to recommendation 7, which was single letters and digits at the second level. Okay, this is a contractual issue then. I put a question mark on that one. I'm not sure where we're at as a committee in that. We changed it to, in future GTLDs, we recommend that single letters and single digits be available at the second and third level if applicable. And then there, the issue that we talked about in San Juan was, well, should it happen at the same time for existing TLDs and new, or does it matter? So, I'm a little vague in where we exactly were in terms of that one and what needs to be done. Liz did point out in the council meeting in San Juan that staff is apparently doing some work on this particular one. Maybe Liz can add some clarity here.
Yes, Chuck. Anything to do with the contractual conditions, part of it for the stuff at the second and third level needs to be handled with Dan. And, of course, the base contract is being reviewed and reviewed and reviewed as we get closer to completion of the recommendations. So that's an ongoing piece there.
Okay, and what about for existing TLDs? You had indicated that staff...
Yes, that was the piece that was carved out by Kurt. I mean, I said this a couple of times at the meeting, that that has been carved out as a separate implementation issue for the services group. So, and they will come back separately from this process about what is essentially an allocation method for the existing TLDs.
Thank you. Okay, now, then moving on, skipping all the way down to recommendation 20, geographic and geopolitical names, and several of them related to those. I think those are all, I think, being worked by us all in this committee with regard to the recommendations that we're working on, and the same thing for the controversial names recommendations, which were the last several ones. That's a quick summary. Everything else, as far as I understand it, and the reserve name working group recommendations are done.
Okay. So my first question is, does anyone disagree with that? That
Milwaukee, I have.
You have a question?
Yeah.
Okay. Anyone else in terms of talking about the actual report itself? Okay, Milwaukee.
Yes. From what Liz just said, so are we expecting some input from the staff, especially from Dan, about the single-letter, second-level domain name for new GTLDs?
Yes, Malaki, in the context of the further preparation of the base contract. But I'll check with Dan. He's not on a call at the moment. But I will I think that he's on vacation this week, like many in the MDR office. So I'll just double-check with him and later today.
Are you talking only about the preparation of the base contract or the allocation framework that we kind of mentioned quickly?
No, the allocation framework is a separate piece of work to the stuff that relates to new TLDs. The allocation framework for existing registry operations for single letter, second level names is a separate piece of work that Kurt will handle. Kurt and his bunch.
And it's not really directly part of this
committee's,
although...
But I don't understand why you say allocation framework for existing TLD registries.
Because
we're talking about new TLDs,
right?
In
this meeting. This is a piece of work that was done that combined existing and new. The pieces that relate to existing registry operations will now be carved out as an implementation exercise to develop an appropriate allocation framework. So nothing more needs to be done on that.
And
Kurt will come back to the group.
Yeah, if I can comment on that. Nothing needs to be done in this committee if the council member, I think I stuck an item on the council meeting agenda that we need to figure out, what, if any, the council needs to do in a policy respect to those recommendations, and that's on next week's council agenda.
Okay, just for the record, my understanding was that the council will need to talk further about...
And that's on the council agenda for next week, but it's not on this committee's agenda.
Well, we are talking about the reserve name report, right?
No, actually... Okay, that was probably my fault for not being specific. We're talking about the reserve name report in respect to new GTLDs.
Okay.
And at next week's council meeting, we'll talk about the reserve names report in respect to existing TLDs.
Okay.
Okay, thanks. It was my fault for not being very clear and just relying on context. Would anyone else like to comment on this at this point?
One correction, Aubrey. I note in a little table I sent around that on recommendation 5 on single and two-character IDNs at all levels, I failed to delete the Arabic example.
Okay. Yeah.
And so just note that. And I think
that's probably because you didn't get the examples from those of us that owed you examples,
well,
so you didn't look at it.
Let's clarify who owes me one. I think Edmund, you were going to provide another one too, weren't you?
Yep, I'll be typing it right now and sending it over.
Okay. And was there someone else who was going to provide one?
I thought I was going to give you perhaps the Hebrew one, but...
Yeah, you were. No, yeah. I had that little subtle reference to the chairman earlier.
Yeah, I heard that. I felt so guilty I had to bring it up myself.
Okay, good.
Okay, I think it was just the two of us. I don't remember.
That's fine.
Maybe Terry had some others. I don't remember.
Okay.
Any other issues on this at the moment before moving on? Okay. In which case, then, let me go back to the agenda, see where we are. We're at next steps. Correct?
Yes.
Yep.
Yep. Okay. So now I sent out a list. I just sent it out last night. It just got ready today of pending action list for the new GTLD committee, and I'm going to try and keep this. And let me explain what I've got here. Basically, I have a description of the overall activity. For example, resolve recommendation 3. Then I have the date that it was added to the list. At this point, I mostly went on things that were discussed at the meeting. I put down the meeting date on things that came up in discussions either with Chuck or staff or on the list since then. I sort of tried to pick a date that was when I added it to the list. The date due is when we need to finish the whole. Basically, we need to resolve our recommendations. Target date is July 12th, the next meeting. Who holds the token? At the moment, it's the committee. But after this, I will add, and then the next pending action.
Okay, so, could you just tell us what you mean by who holds the token?
In other words, in some cases, for example, it might be something that Liz has to do or something that I have to do. Or is it up to the committee as a whole to deal with it?
Okay.
So it's basically where the next pending action, who's responsible for it.
Gotcha.
So, for example, if I was to look at this now and sort of say on recommendation 6 and 20, well, actually, look at 19. Resolve 19, now that was listed as an open issue. There's been some discussion between registries and registrars that they're talking about it and that they'll basically give us some feedback. So as opposed to saying that the issue was already in the committee's lap, it was basically saying before the committee actually reviews it again, then we need to get the feedback from registries and registrars. So the token at the moment is in the registry and registrar's hands. Next week, hopefully, we'll have that by next week, and then we can talk about it in the committee. So I would hopefully be able to put it on the agenda for next week. And this is basically sort of to try and track where we are. So in the first column are sort of the large things, and in the last column is what's the next step to resolution of that.
Could I just make a request that I found this page particularly confusing because it looked like sometimes the year was at the beginning of the date and sometimes the year was at the end of the date.
The year's always at the beginning.
Aubrey, a simple way to deal with that maybe is to
spell out the month.
Put the month. Yeah, exactly. It's a three-digit.
Okay. Yeah. No. I'll do that certainly. I put the dates in the way I always do them, and then yeah. So no, I'll put the. But yeah, the year is always at the front. It's so much easier that way, and I'll dig at one of these.
Except where it says updated. At the top. But that's okay. I get it now. It was just I saw it different.
Oh, yeah. No, that's only a mistake in my formatting, that I didn't pick the right format for automatically updating the date. So sorry. I will fix that. I'll fix that also in the one for the council. So basically, looking at this, so we have resolve recommendation 3, and we had a discussion at today's meeting, and I'll update it to say that the next action is basically a report from these working groups at the next meeting, and then we talk about it some more. That's same for 6. For 19, looking for feedback. For 20, is also a discussion. Oh, actually, no. For 3 is my sending out a note at the moment and then checking next week to see whether the broad support holds. I misspoke for 3. For 6, it's the small group. For 19, we're waiting for registries and registrars to give us some feedback on the issue. For 20, we've got the small group. We discuss open implementation issues at the moment. We had an extensive discussion on that in San Juan. And I've basically asked Liz and Dan, actually asked Liz and put Liz and Dan's name here, to give us an update on that for the next meeting so that we can discuss that further in that agenda. Initial impact statements with the registrars having delivered theirs is all done. I believe that's correct.
Yep.
There will be an opportunity based on any changes that get made in recommendations or requirements or implementation guidelines for any constituency to update their impact statement if necessary. I've got that down as the 19th. I'm not sure that that's the right date, but I think that Liz would have to tell me if that's the right date or whether it can wait a week longer.
I just on that one, I prefer it didn't.
You prefer it didn't?
I prefer it didn't, just because I'm trying to close off as much of the report as possible, remembering that we've got very tight internal deadlines to resolve things, and a shifting target on the report is really hard for us to deal with.
Okay, Chuck, you wanted to comment?
Yeah, on the update of impact statements, I think, and we seem to be doing this, so it may be a moot point, but let's make sure we keep the recommendation numbers the same so that when constituencies update their impact statements, we haven't got new numbers that kind of invalidate the old impact statement.
Yeah, Chuck, I won't make any amendments to that.
Yeah, good.
Yeah, I'm sort of assuming that all the way through.
Yeah, it looks like that's what's happening. I just want to clarify that way it simplifies it.
Okay. For report from working group dealing with reference implementation of RPMs, the rights protection mechanisms, a group has been built. I put Christina's name in there as holding the token in relation to this particular group. Christina, tell me if that's not right. That's why I also put a question mark because I hadn't had a chance to talk to you when I stuck your name in.
I am very much hoping that I can pass that token to one of the other volunteers, but I'll be in a better position to tell
okay,
you that.
Okay, so
next
at the moment, you hold the token until
for
you
now.
Tell me someone else has it.
Absolutely.
Okay, so basically the group has been formed. I understand there's a mailing list. In fact, it was sent out just so the mailing list knows I'm on it following the conversations, but I won't be participating actively in the group. So they need to start discussions, and I'm asking that the group sort of give a brief update on a weekly basis, and I stuck a target date on of the end of the month. The group needs to come back and say whether that's livable. That certainly gives us the ability to have that reference implementation in hand when we, as a committee, decide to pass on the recommendations to the council, allows the council to have it in hand when it makes its when it votes on passing on the recommendations to the community and the board.
Aubrey,
yeah,
I'm really rendered speechless. We had talked about within kind of the Mike and Liz and I and some of the other volunteers, we were really expecting to be able to go until the very end. I mean, we basically are using October 15 as our deadline.
October 15?
Yeah.
Abby, I can clarify there, if you wish.
Sure, please.
Sure. Yes, Christina is exactly right. There is no the two pieces of work have been decoupled. I double-checked that with Craig in terms of the implementation plan. And Christina and the Rights Protection Mechanism Little Ad Hoc Group do indeed have that time because the material that they will develop will be inserted into the implementation plan as and when it just develops. There's no necessity for it to come back.
Okay.
And there's no necessity for it to be a critical path piece of work for the policy
okay,
stuff.
Okay, I've changed the date.
Okay. Yeah.
Thank you. Just so that everyone knows what's going on.
That's why, I mean, I put these together out of my own imagination. So
that's why you're asking this question.
That's why I'm asking. And then basically an updated draft for final committee review at the end of the month. And basically what's being proposed is that after that updated draft comes out, we'll basically, because our deadline for passing this on to the council is essentially the following week, it's the 10th. And basically then giving 10 days, essentially, for this group to review, to discuss on the list, to have one meeting to discuss anything in the report that, that needs to be dealt with. I mean, the hope is that that will be a null conversation, that, that everything will be, you know, correct and you know, as such, and everybody's statements and impact statements will be correct, et cetera, but to basically give a week for people to discuss, to lodge issues, to add comments that, that may be missing, to, you know, raise a flag saying, wait a second, you know, it says broad support here, but three constituencies have changed their mind. Hopefully,
no, they won't.
What I'm basically saying is, of course they won't. We hope they won't, but it's basically a week to check that the report does reflect the reality within within this group.
Aubrey, a clarification: you're showing the due date as August 10th. That's actually so. Wouldn't the week consensus call be done the week before that?
Yes, Chuck. Right, we have a final meeting listed for, or we would probably have a final meeting. Well, it's not, the consensus call would start with the updated draft coming out. And then it would take a week, it being 7 days, you know, and yes, there's 3 days variance factor in that.
Okay, so I'm just pointing out.
Oh, yeah, we should be done by the 10th, but we should really be done by the 7th, all things being equal. But rarely are all things equal.
Yeah. Gotcha. Okay. Now, a general comment, and it doesn't really directly relate to your table, but for recommendations 3, 6, and 20 that we're still working on,
mm-hmm.
It seems to me, and this relates back to a comment made by Liz earlier in this call, it seems to me that the more work that staff can do investigating the feasibility of implementing the recommendations as we understand them now is going to be very important with regard to finalizing our work on August 10th. Because if there are implementation problems, that impacts our recommendation.
Yes. And I think a corollary to that is we should use implementation guidelines to assist in that effort if we can.
And it'll help us test our recommendation before we're done.
Yep. And then I've added, thank you, I've added a line here. I haven't fleshed it out yet, basically talking about reserve names and listing the actions that those of us that owe actions owe for completion of this. Does anyone have any other comments on this table at the moment? I will get it updated. I'll send it out probably sometime today or latest tomorrow. And I'll try to basically keep it up to date as we move along to completing so that we know what's still on the table.
And a question for Glenn, a logistical question, Chuck again. Have all of the new observers been added to our GTLD council list so that they're kept informed?
Yes, as far as I know, Chuck, if
thanks.
You know.
No, I don't know of any problems. I just know that we've had a lot of new added since San Juan and just wanted to make sure they're getting all the information.
And anybody on this call who isn't added, please contact Glenn.
Yeah, this is John. Could I just ask a question on that? I've never been on the list. So I don't know if we were. I assumed as observers, I just need to check through the internet and not get the. I'm not getting the email pushed to me. But if that's an option, I would love to have that.
I'll do that straight away, John.
That'd be great. Thank you.
Yeah, because we've always had a policy that observers spoke. Yeah. Okay. Anything else on this table that anyone wants to comment on, ask on, change? Tell me to add. Okay, moving on. Agenda items for next meeting. They'll be driven by this to-do list and anything else that we still need to complete, but hopefully anything that needs to be on the agenda is here unless some new topic comes up but I wanted to ask at this meeting whether anyone saw anything that should be added to the agenda for next week that isn't either already continuing from this week or on my pending list. If you think of it later, please let the list know.
I mean, may I just ask a supplementary question, please?
Of course.
I'm just trying to identify next week when it might be helpful to do whatever it is the group wants to do. Could I just draw everyone's attention to the GNSO's master calendar and note that next week there are meetings at this time. I can't support Mondays.
That was actually my next item on the agenda.
Oh, I beg your pardon. Sorry.
So, but since we're there.
I'm up there, Avery. I'm with you on it.
Yeah. The next thing was to confirm the schedule of the next meeting. Now, as I understand it, we don't actually have a conflict, but we have an overload in that this meeting is at 14 UDC and the council meeting is at 12, but very few of us want to be 4 hours in a row. Is that correct, Glenn?
That's right, Avery, yes.
And so, and in terms of looking at things, I'm sort of loath to ask people to do it on Wednesday or even Tuesday, because then the groups that are working for a week haven't had a week. And I think that interim work is as important as the meeting in terms of getting things done.
Also, Abby, the little group doing rights protection mechanism stuff, and there is some overlap there, will start on Tuesday.
Okay.
And there's who is.
And so I was hoping that maybe with a slight shift we could keep this on Thursday, like start a half hour later, which I know is terrible for anyone in Asia, and especially in Australia, and continue after the council, or I know Fridays is another option, but I understand that that gets very problematic because you're eating into Friday night and early Saturday morning, so... I wanted to bring it up and see what people had to say about it.
Aubrey, I wonder if we could explore on with the people on this call whether the Friday option would be unmanageable for those in Asia Pacific.
Especially if done early.
Right. No.
Which punishes the California folks.
Yeah.
Any comment?
Aubrey, this is Christina. I have a question. Before we explore that, do we really think we're going to need the 2 hours for the council call meeting? I mean, I don't have a sense as to what's on the agenda.
It's a fairly full agenda, and there's one item that may cut it shorter,
okay.
And I don't know at the moment, and that's whether we're actually ready to vote on contractual conditions or not.
Okay.
If we are ready to vote, then we'll use the full 2 hours. If we're not ready to vote, then we probably won't.
Okay. Or we switch more time to some other topic. Which
yeah.
We're kind of tight on anyway.
We've added a lot of topics,
okay.
But yeah. So what do people think of? I guess there's two options on the table. One is to do it on Thursday, a half hour later, which is late for Asia Pacific, and it's overload for everybody on the council. Of course, after San Juan, that seems mild. But or there's the Friday option. Any comments? Friday morning. So Friday morning would be like noon UTC, which is 8 in the morning, which is 5, or is that ridiculous?
And it's okay for me.
Okay. Are you the only California?
I'm not sure what time you're saying.
In other words, the same time as the council meeting, the 12.
5 a.m.
The 5 a.m., the 12 UTC.
It's doable. It isn't pleasant, but it's doable.
Okay, so the California folks are willing to do the 5 a.m. How about...
On the 12th, every?
Huh?
On the Thursday, I beg your
On the Friday.
Okay.
Because we already have a council meeting on the Thursday at that time.
You're trying to separate out the two. Okay, thank you.
Right, yeah. No, I'm not trying to change the council meeting at the moment. I'm trying to leave that fixed and figure out how we move this one. In other words, we could keep it in the same time slot. That gives us 4 hours straight. We could put in a half-hour break. That pushes Asia Pacific to wee hours of the morning. Or we could move it over to Friday, where the Californians get two early mornings and Europe and Asia Pacific is stuck doing new GTLV committee on Friday evening.
Excuse me, Avery?
Yeah?
Are you talking about next week?
I'm talking about next week, yes.
Next week I won't be able to make it. I'll be in a summer institute, and I will have in classes.
Okay, so you're out for both Thursday and Friday.
Yes.
Well, then that doesn't. I mean, thank you for letting me know, but thanks.
Avery, just an alternative, and I wondered if this works for the other Europeans. I'm happy to do Friday late evening. You know how we used to do the 8 o'clock in the evening calls. I'm happy to do that if that.
Pacific early Saturday morning.
Yeah, just in case that helps, because that might be doable for others that are in Europe, but I'm just having a struggle to think about who that is. It's John and me and Olof. I'm happy to do that if that just gives us a bit more flexibility, because it seems to me that that very early morning time for California and then very late for the Asia-Pacific guys might not work.
Yeah,
who
I think that...
I'm actually fine with Thursday. I'm a relatively late person. I don't really mind that part. And Friday and Saturday, I'm flexible too. So
you accept any of the options?
Yeah.
That was Edmund, right?
Yep.
Yep. Okay. Anyone else have a comment?
Yeah, very quickly. I'm not available. It's all off. I'm not available next Friday. But that's not a showstopper, I think.
And this doesn't have to be a showstopper either, but it's probably highly unlikely that I can make the Thursday time.
Okay, you can make the council, but not the second one.
Yeah, and I may even have to cut off early on the council.
Okay. It's not a showstopper, but between you and Olof together, it's getting closer. Anyone else?
Yeah, so if our option is the two meetings in a row with a break on Thursday, or splitting it up and doing it at the... other time on Friday. I guess my preference would be to split it up between the 2 days, but I can do either.
Okay. So it's tending towards Friday. Anyone object to doing it on Friday? But now we have a suggestion of two times. We have the early morning and we have the late. Does anybody care which option?
I think I do, but what would the late be
the late
on
would...
Eastern time? I'm actually going to be in Virginia next week, so.
Oh.
3:00? 4:00,
I think.
3:00 or 4:00.
Yeah, I'll be getting on an airplane. So.
Okay, so the early option then is better, because you really should be here. Any objection to Friday early option? I see. You know, one thing you're willing. You're not going to be in California.
Well, hey,
it's only
at 5 a.m. really, I can handle better than most people, but in California, because I'm early, but early person.
I know. I was teasing. I mean,
we can just do this quickly on the list.
We can do it, but if we could settle it now, which is Friday morning tentative, and we'll confirm it on the list. Any objection at the moment to Friday morning confirmed on list?
Which is UTC 2 o'clock.
UTC
noon. No, UTC
noon. UTC 12 o'clock.
Thank you.
UTC noon. Because I didn't want to push Asia Pacific later, unless they say they really don't care. But okay, I will float Friday morning on the list, and we can confirm it there. I thank you all. It's 11:57.
Bye.
I know why you guys didn't want to do both of them. You don't want to have to listen to them for 4 hours.
Bye.
Bye-bye. Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye.